You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I hear hissing, but I can edit the hissing out.
Right.
I hear you breaking up. I hear a lot
like
of breaking.
Breaking up like how? Breaking up is hard to do?
Yeah. No. Like, you know, like you're driving through a tunnel breaking up.
They say that breaking up is hard to do.
Sorry. I have to be the new Scott since, you know, he's the overlord now. And so I have to occasionally break into a song.
I hope you guys don't mind when I do that.
No,
not at all.
You're a free spirit, Scott.
Yeah, but you can't be now because you're the overlord. Gotta keep us in check, man.
Yep.
So speaking of which, when the hell are we going to start this damn show?
I don't know. 8:59. It's only been 27 minutes.
Ooh, overlordy. I love it.
Overlordy.
I prefer overlord-ish.
Oh, there you go.
Overlord.
Nice.
Another podcast.
So what are we talking about? Actually, I know exactly what we're talking about. I'm watching one of them right now.
Which one?
The first one.
No.
Or the seventh one. Ninth one? I lost count. Okay.
No, the first three are 4, 5, and 6, and I'm watching number 5.
Empire.
First back. I think I only saw that once.
Really? That's a good one.
That is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one with Lando Calrissian.
Yes. Lando Calrissian, yes.
Thank you.
That's the one that starts off in Hoth. And then Han's like, you know, where the guy's like, well, your Tauntaun's going to freeze. And he goes, well, I'll see you in hell.
Which is an interesting reference that they use hell.
Yeah.
Like that there's a heaven and hell and a god and the devil and all that stuff in their worlds.
Yeah, galaxy like, far, far away.
Time ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. That does sound a bit peculiar.
All right. Well,
George Lucas was an atheist.
We're giving it away.
We're giving away good stuff here. So we're going to start. You know what? I got to verify your recording. We're recording. Yay. Okay.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puffin Stuff. Push your bed when things get rough. HR Puffin Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
There is nothing new under the sun, but under the small green fourth moon of Yavin, there is quite a different story. Director George Lucas and 20th Century Fox present Star Wars. Luke Skywalker is on a daring mission to rescue a beautiful princess, and all he needs is a little help from his friends. Han Solo, space pirate, and Chewie, his giant Wookiee, C-3PO, human relations cyborg, and his counterpart R2-D2, and the mysterious Jedi Knight. Never before in the history of movies has so much time and technology been spent just for fun. Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This Bonds Out Retro Club, can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey.
And Scott.
Hello.
And what we're doing today is we're going to be talking about Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope, released in 1977. So what we're going to do is we're going to be bringing you a limited series of talking about the movies that were released in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, being the Star Wars franchise. And it's one of those things that I realized today. I'm like, how come we have never spent time putting together, you know, an episode talking about each one of these? I think this is long overdue.
Before we go too much further, I just wanted to tell you I came up with an idea for this.
Okay.
I want to call this a trilogy.
Okay.
Of episodes of podcasts. It's okay. Just an idea.
Okay. All right. So this is our trilogy.
This is our trilogy.
Our trilogy, and we're going to start with episode. Well, I don't even know what number of episode we're on. but no, I see where you're going with that.
Clever.
Yeah, a clever failure at humor.
Yeah, there'll be people laughing. I can hear it.
Potterilogy? Potterilogy? No, I don't know. Anyway.
Potterilogy?
Yeah, something.
Yeah, let's copyright that.
Yeah, let's do that.
An epipodrilogy.
I love it. Spell it.
Wow. Epipod. E-P-I-P-O-D.
O-D. No, we don't need two P's. Why do you need two P's?
Epipod. It's like EpiPen.
Epipod.
P-O-D.
R-I.
I-L-O-G-Y.
Yeah. Epipodrilogy.
All right. Hashtag that motherfucker. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be the only thing hashtag that.
All right, so here we go. So the idea is on each one of these specific episodes, we're going to be trying our best to keep them relatively short, but we'll see how well we do with that. My idea was to talk about, you know, who's our favorite character, our favorite scene, and back in the 70s and 80s, we were so overloaded with so much great merchandising. You know, I thought it'd be fun that if there was something that, you know, all of us remembered having or wanting or seeing, you know, then, you know, this would be our opportunity to bring that up. So that's kind of where the framework is for this, but obviously I'm sure we're going to tangent off and who knows if we'll have longer episodes than I had planned. But that's the original thought process. Star Wars, I know, is something that has been, really kind of important with you, Scott. So if you had to pick a favorite character from A New Hope, who would it be? Are you on mute?
Yes, I was on mute.
You were on mute. How about that?
I was on mute. I'm going to say the scruffy-looking Nerf herder.
Ah, you have to go with Harrison, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just really cool, you know? He was already tough. He was already weathered. Kind of been around the block a few times. You know, Luke was so new to everything, so it was fun to watch Luke grow and stuff, but Han or Han or whatever you want to call him, because Lando calls him Han several times.
Right.
Which he actually, Han corrects him at one point in, I think, The Empire Strikes Back. Anyway, I always liked that. I always liked Han Solo, and I liked his pistol. Was very cool. I remember I had the toy pistol when we were growing up. In fact, a friend of ours, his dad made a wooden one, he was a woodworker and he made this really cool wooden one, one of my good friends had. And he always, you know, when we would play Star Wars around the house or whatever, he had his wooden replica of Han's gun. So it was pretty cool. Anyway,
I bet you that took some time to make.
Oh, yeah.
It had to have, yeah. Yeah. It had to have.
Okay. So
that's my favorite character from the first.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Rose, if you had to pick a favorite character from A New Hope, who would you pick?
Well, I don't want to be obvious, but... Let's see, with that guy with the funny hat and blew up that planet. What's his name?
Darth Vader?
No, not him. He wasn't the favorite character until later.
He's a Grand Moff Tarkin?
Is that the one that Peter Cushing played?
Yes, Peter.
I like Peter Cushing. No offense against the good guys or anything. I just really love a good, strong British accent.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, he did well in that role.
He did. I enjoyed it.
Yep. That's a good pick.
That is, and that's definitely not a, one of the central characters. But he had a strong presence in the movie. So I can see why you picked him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Obi-Wan. I liked Ben, played by Alec Guinness, in this particular role. Just, you know, having him taking Luke under his wing and just being the guide for, you know, teaching the Force, even though. Yeah, you know, knowing what's going to happen and with the evolution of that character, of what he must have been dealing with in the past, you know, it was believable when Alec Guinness played him, and you can kind of tell he had a troubled past going on, and then you started to really see that when he had to confront Darth Vader. And it was just very well done. I really enjoyed that version of Ben. And I almost wish that we would have had that version of Ben all the way through all of them. But, you know, I mean, he passed away, so what can you do?
Right.
If you had to pick a favorite scene, Scott, what are you thinking?
Oh, wow. From the first one?
Yeah. I mean, I could kind of think of an obvious one if you're, you know, with Han Solo. You know, the big question mark, who shot first?
Yeah. And I believe he shot first.
Han did?
Yes, Han shot first.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
really think the final battle scene is one of my favorites in that. Blowing up the Death Star and, you know, all the space, air combat, space combat, whatever.
Yeah.
Going down into the trenches, you know, the shots of them, the viewpoint of the front end of the X-Wing going down into the trenches with you could see the wings on the far each right and left side and, you know, shooting at the turrets as they're being, you know, targeted, and just the the simple graphics that they had were was pretty awesome too. But like, stay on target is such a great line from it. Stay on target, you know. It's just, it's great. That ending battle scene, it was just a lot of fun. I mean, it takes, like, from the beginning of the movie, you know, it builds up to this incredible climax of an ending.
Right.
You know, it really sets up for the end of the movie, and the end of the movie delivers, in my opinion. So that's my favorite scene.
And there was even that piece in there where it's like, you know, he was relying on his instruments, and he had to use, you know, he had to rely on his instincts.
Right.
Yeah. So. Exactly. So all very cool and help build the mythos of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So Rose, where are you at for favorite scene?
I want to go with when they go into the, what is it, the cantina?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the, yeah, when they first enter, you know, and they're trying to, you know, find someone to get them where they need to be.
Right.
We don't serve their kind here.
Yeah. It's just, you know, because he's like really into the Muppets, even though, you know, I'm like 17, 18 years old. And I just, you know, just to see all these kooky, weird, bizarre, quirky little space creatures.
Oh yeah, the myriad,
you know,
of
the music,
of aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just like, this is great. You know, this is, you know, how space should be. Melting pot of weirdos.
Right. And not everybody's going to look humanoid, you know. And that scene definitely showcased that,
yeah.
Where it was like,
yeah,
you're going to have all kinds of different types of beings. Yeah.
Well, how did Obi-Wan describe it before, when they were looking down over into the city, and they were they were describing the town itself or the city itself? What did Obi-Wan call it? He said like the greatest gathering of scum in the universe or something like that. I can't exactly remember. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
But yeah, then that the cantina scene is classic.
Yeah.
And it's definitely it ranks up there pretty high on that movie as far as my favorite scene. I love the whole movie through from beginning to end. It's really hard to pick a favorite scene, because I think it had to do with, because it was so influential at the time. I mean, I was you know, I was 9 years old when it first came out. And that, you know, you have, it's heavily, when you're 9 years old, this kind of fantasy and stuff is just, it's entrancing. You can't get enough of it, you know? So the whole movie was just blew me away. It was, the timing was perfect for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on that, when, during that time, you know, we'd been, I guess, prepared for, you know, encounters from above, so to speak, you know, and everybody had seemed to have this preconceived notion that this is what spacemen look like, you know, kind of alien. Everybody had, you know, this is like, okay, this is the poster child for an alien. He's going to have big giant eyes and an oval shaped head and long wiggly arms and all this shit, you know. And then, you know, you get a movie about, you know, a galaxy far, far away. Clearly, obviously, they're talking about space, you know. And then you see, oh, hey, where's that weird guy with the big eyes and the oval shaped head? What planet is he from? You know? And it's just, I don't want to say they make them look normal, because they're not, but it's like, oh, okay, so maybe there's other visualizations of how, you know, aliens are supposed to look, you know. And this was the best thing going at the time, truthfully. Okay, so I take that, you know, obviously I'm not going to take back what I said, but, you know, we've had Star Trek, you know, and their aliens were always, you know, men in rubber suits and tribbles and, you know, kinds of weird shit like that. But, you know, this was actually, you know, someone's realization come to life. So not that that wasn't, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot more involved than just putting somebody in a rubber suit.
Yes.
There's somebody that took, you know, there's like a creature workshop that spent some a lot of time and energy in building this universe.
Absolutely.
And you know, Lucas was all over, you know, making sure every like detail was 100%. I'm sure. I guess if I had to pick a favorite scene, I like the humor elements that, you know, played at several parts of this movie. The most notable one that I really love is when they're flying the Millennium Falcon and R2 is playing Chewbacca in, you know, some sort of chess game or whatever that game is that they're playing. And, you know, it was like one of those things where he was winning and, you know, Han reminded him, he's like, well, I don't know if, you know, you should know that Wookiees aren't, you know, they're sore losers. So, you know, you keep that in mind. And, you know, so C-3PO advised him, he goes, well, I think you should change your strategy and let the Wookiee win. Yeah, and there's a lot of those type of humor elements in it, like where even when Luke and Han were shooting in the turrets or whatever, and he's like, I caught one. He's like, all right, don't get cocky, kid. You know, so I really liked, you know, the kind of humor that went in with, you know, what they were doing. And I like, you know, it was like a movie that brings that in, like a lot like the modern day Marvel movies where they include the you know, the working together elements that you would have, you know, of association with each other and getting to know each other, and you'd be like, you know, I'm going to have fun with this person even though we're kind of having a you know, a situation we're in, a battle or whatever it is, but we could still take a moment to, you know, put a little bit of sarcasm in there.
Yeah,
so I like that.
Yeah, because life is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Star Wars posters at Burger Chef.
R2-D2, hurry up.
That's right. Four posters featuring the stars of Star Wars are at Burger Chef.
We'd like a Star Wars poster, please. R2, it's our lucky day. It's us.
Just buy a large serving of Coca-Cola for 49 cents at participating Burger Chefs, and a Star Wars poster is yours to control. There are four spectacular full-color Star Wars posters in all, so start your collection today.
R2, I think we'd better leave.
Star Wars posters, only at Burger Chef, while supplies last.
So the other thing that I thought would be fun to talk about, I know we were when the Star Wars marketing machine really started getting into full force. I mean, they put Star Wars on just about anything, and they had, you know, just merchandising out the yin yang. One of the things that was huge with me, and I think even Scott and I may have talked about this in the past, was the Burger King cups that were released. That had Star Wars images on it, and for some reason I know that I had that one that had C-3PO and R2-D2 and kind of like an orange background. I think Scott, you mentioned you still had yours, if I remember that.
I did pick one up a few years back. Actually, and this brings us back to Chris and Cheryl again. Cheryl's lifetime friend this guy Steve. He gave me one of his. He had like he had gotten like six of them at I don't know where he got them from, but he had like six of these things, the Burger King one with the C-3PO and the R2-D2, and he gave it to me just nice. as a friendly gift. I'm like, it's still up in my cabinet and I have it hidden away, and you know, I don't ever plan on getting rid of it. So it was very cool, and I remember all the others. And then there's that you bring that up, and that makes me think of a scene out of the movie The Great Outdoors, which actually has a couple of Burger King Star Wars glasses in it. Now, that I believe they're like Return of the Jedi glasses, but they are Star Wars glasses that they showed in that movie. Little tidbit of media, you know,
trivia
yeah. pursuit there for you. So anyway, yeah, no, that's cool. The glasses were cool. I gotta tell you, I had all the toys, so it's hard for me to pick out specific ones that stood out to me. I had them all. I had all the stuff. That was all we could ask for Christmas and birthdays at the time. And my little brother was on top of it too. He loved the Star Wars universe, and so we had all the Star Wars toys.
Do you remember having one that was like your go-to, your favorite, you know, I always think of Toy Story, your Woody?
I think the Chewbacca little, you know, standard action figure that they had.
Yeah.
With the bowcaster, I think that was probably one of my favorite ones. I think the main cast. It's really hard to pick one out, man. I had the crawler, the Jawa crawler.
Right.
That was way cool, man. It was like wired remote control, you know.
The one not, that you'd have to like walk behind it. And
yeah,
like, guide
yeah.
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, I can't. I mean, I had the Death Star part, you know, the like the pie piece of a Death Star.
Cool.
Of course, the Millennium Falcon, X-Wings, TIE Fighters, all that stuff. We played a lot with that stuff. Perfect timing for a kid of my age for this movie to come out, really.
Yeah. So Rose, I know you were probably rocking the Star Wars lunchbox, right?
Oh, I had one of those too. I have one right now, actually.
That's too funny. Well, no. Like I said, when it came out, I was 17 when it came out. I saw it when I was 18, actually. I told you the story. You all know the story. I was visiting my mom in Las Vegas. She gave me $2, told me to get lost. And I just remember sitting through the movie twice. And I was just so fascinated by everything that was going on. It was just, I remember thinking, I'm so glad that I'm in the theater watching this, because if I was at home watching this on TV, I would miss so much stuff. You know, there's just so many things going on at once, and it's just atmospherically and aesthetically, it was filmed so, so very well. And by then, you know, I went into the Army, so I didn't really start to, well, I was buying toys for my kids probably when Return of the Jedi came out, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So by then, it was kind of like, you know, we would probably just rent it on video. And I wanted to make sure my kids saw it, you know, especially my boys, because, you know, my daughter was so young at the time. So, you know, I wanted them to get interested in things that were, you know, different and unusual and, you know, broaden their minds and horizons and things like that. I want to say that they really didn't have a whole lot of the toys. They didn't ask for a lot of the, like, the big things. Like, I don't think any of my kids ever owned, you know, a Millennium Falcon or TIE Fighter or anything like that. If I could find them some little, you know, action figures here and there, I'd pick them up, you know, and I'd bring them home. And it was kind of like they would incorporate it. They were always, they were like multiverse collaborators that, you know, Transformers played with Star Wars figures, and then Masks played with, you know, GoBots, and it was just everybody just played with everybody else. So it was never one of those like, okay, we're just gonna do Star Wars today and then tomorrow we'll do, you know, something else. But yeah, so I mean, they liked the things. They probably had more like the sticker books and the coloring books and things like that. They might have had a lunchbox or even like the toy case that the things came in.
Oh, the Darth Vader helmet case.
Yeah. Yeah. They always, for whatever they took away from any of these movies, it was always like, Mom, can I get the Darth Vader's? Like, okay, we don't want anything to do with the good guys. I've seen that coming. But no, yeah, so. But I think, you know, kids in general just, you know, just kind of took away from it what they wanted to. You know, more, some kids were more mesmerized by, you know, the whole idea, and some kids were like, no, it's just something else to do, kind of a thing. So.
Okay, so I want to wrap up the episode, but I have a very important question to ask both of you. Because if we're talking about episode 4, let's assume that you're going to watch this series. You're going to watch every Star Wars episode starting from wherever you start from. I don't know why my phone's freaking out. Where do you start? Do you start with this one, or do you start with episode 1? Scott, you go first.
That's a really tough question. I like the way that they started this far into the story.
Right.
And then they went back and explained the you know, the build up to it with 1 through 3, even though 1 through 3 were kind of like the special effects were great and everything, but there was something missing from it. Didn't quite hold up to the first 3 or 4, 5, and 6. You know, that's the only thing that's the drawback to it, is the confusion. Is it the first one or the fourth one? You know, which is the first one? When you say, oh, the first Star Wars, they say, what, you mean Phantom Menace? No, A New Hope.
Right.
Well, that's number 4, but it's number 1, really. So it just gets confusing how they did do that whole thing. And then I think the beginning, the scrolling credits in the beginning, or the scrolling introduction, says episode 4.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute, what's this all about? So it can be a little confusing, but I do like that they jumped right in and started telling the story from that point on. And it was really more a story about where the droids came from.
So then back to the question, if you want to watch the whole thing, let's say before the next movie comes out, what's your start off point? Are you going to go in order that they were released, or are you going to go in order based on the way they're numbered?
Okay, so if I had like 20 hours.
Yeah.
To sit down and watch them
back to back.
Every single, right. Let's say I was going to sit down and watch every single one back to back. I might, because I've never done it, I might start with episode 1.
Okay.
Just to just to see the progression of the storyline after they jump in.
Okay. Okay. Where are you at with that, Rose?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, let him. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Scott?
I was going to say, as like a fanboy, I would have to go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
So based on their release date. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. As a fan, I want to see it that way, but to see it from beginning to end, I don't know if I've ever done that. So it might be kind of interesting to do. But if I had the time, though, I mean, you really get it. You can't do it like over weeks of time. You can't do like one movie and then wait a couple weeks and watch another movie. This would have to be like literally back to back.
Yeah.
So just settle into the couch and don't move for the next 18 hours or whatever it would be.
Yeah, you would definitely have a time commit in front of your in front of you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Rose, have you ever thought about this? Have you done it?
No, I haven't done it.
Okay.
And my answer is probably not going to be very popular. And frankly, when has that ever stopped me? I would definitely start off 4, 5, 6. I do not like 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
I would just don't even care what happened before, to be honest with you. I don't know my vehemence. Where it stems from, I think I do, but, you know, that's like a whole different episode entirely. Just really, my loyalty goes with 4, 5, 6, period.
Okay, that's fair. And I brought this up because it was actually humorous that when A Force Awakens was coming out, uh-huh. It was important for us to make sure our kids were educated with the backstory. So we actually did sit them down, and we started with episode 1. But I found myself telling everybody, look, you can't base this whole series on episode 1 and 2. You have to kind of fight your way through it to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I always had to, like, be setting it up. Like, you know, I mean, all of a sudden we're facing Jar Jar Binks, and I'm like, look, hold on. It gets better. Trust me. And, you know, in retrospect, I was like, maybe I should have started with 4, 5, and 6. And, but, you know, it was like one of those things where there was, you know, like you mentioned, there was a great backstory that they did for Anakin. And you're like, there's important stuff that is being told there, but just so much crap that you have to wade through to kind of get that. And I actually liked episode 3. But yeah, 1 and 2 were crap. And that's why I asked that question. I thought it was because I had done that. I had gone 1 through 6. And it definitely 4, 5, and 6 are definitely, you know, because of the nostalgia factor and the romanticism that I have because of when it was released, you know, being my youth, of course they're going to be the best ones.
Yeah.
But,
you know, and I think, like Scott said, you know, the special effects are great.
Right.
Right. That doesn't make a movie. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who disagree, but this is Star Wars. I mean, if you're going to tell a backstory, put more effort into it. I would love it if somebody would do what Marvel Cinematic Universe does and just, well, I know we did a movie about this guy, but can we do another movie about this guy and like make it better and have other stuff in it? You know, I was using a bad example because they just beat the shit out of X-Men. You know, I don't think they can tell any more X-Men stories.
Yeah.
I don't think they're allowed to. But, you know, I would love it if somebody would just recast. I want someone to recast. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
The kid?
Not so much the, you know, because I didn't really mind the kid, although it looked like he was, something, he was reading cue cards, but that was his first movie, so I'm not tripping on that. I'm talking about as he got older.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I know what you're talking about.
That version. Yeah. If they could redo that version of him, that would be awesome.
Hmm.
Honestly, I think they were going for obscure and they went to a little too obscure. You know?
So, I gotta rewind a little bit. Dave brought up the name that should never be mentioned in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, okay. I failed us because I brought up the Jar Jar. Got it.
So,
am I banned from the show? What?
No, listen.
What's my penance?
I don't know if I ever told you guys this story. But Chrissy and I we went downtown with some people for something. I can't remember what it was, down into the city in Chicago. And we were coming back, and we were on we took the train. We were on the L, and there was this family talking about Star Wars sitting right next to us. And they were talking about their favorite characters of all the Star Wars characters, and you know, the usual ones came up, you know, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Luke, and whatever. And I said, I leaned over to them all. I go, there's no competing with Jar Jar Binks. So let's, you know, and I swear it's like the whole train went quiet.
Oh my God.
It was the best. It was so fun. The look on the kid's face was priceless. Yeah. The dad got it right away. He thought it was funny, but the kid was like, what? Yep, Jar Jar.
This dad's a crazy person.
There's a lot of crazies on the train. So,
yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think this wraps up our talk on A New Hope, because we want to get started on The Empire Strikes Back. So we're going to kind of put a bow in this one and get moving along. So what we're going to do is remind you, we have a website out there. That's Banzai Retro Club. That's Banzai RetroClub.com. Go out there, check out our social media, follow us, do all that kind of good stuff. There's a way you can leave us a voicemail. There's also a link to our email, so you can shoot us an email at mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. Another thing that we'd like you to do is go out, give us a rating review on iTunes, do a thing where we can subscribe to the podcast. We'd love you to do that. You can also listen to us through Spotify if that's your choosing of method of listening podcasts. So we're out there also. With that, we just want to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
May the force be with you.
We'll rule the podcast together. Oh, that's the next movie.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!